Hello, United Podcast Experience listeners. Welcome back to an episode of the United Podcast Experience. We have Chad Borkwin on the line. He's a country singer for his band. He also does a lot of stuff in the music licensing game and from Kansas. That's enough for me. I'm going to let Chad introduce himself.
Hey, Kevin. I appreciate you having me on here.
No problem, brother. First thing I got to ask is, how did you get into the not only music game, but what really said at a young age or whenever that made you say, I want to go into country music?
Well, I haven't always been in country. We grew up around country music, but there was this assembly that came through my high school when I was a kid, and they were rocking out. And a buddy of mine sitting next to me just turned to me and said, "Hey, why don't you learn to play guitar and we'll start a band?" And man, that was the day that it changed my entire trajectory of my life, because I went from not exactly knowing what I was going to do to this is all I want to do. And it just, you know, it went for, I toured with a rock band for years. After that, eventually got picked up by that group. And then after that, became an entertainment agent. But as far as the country, you know, my brother and I started this group. He's the singer and I'm the guitar player. And we started this group about 7 years ago. And it was just a deal where I was writing songs. It just didn't sound rock anymore. You know, we grew up around Alabama and Willie Nelson and Waylon and all that. And my brother's a huge fan of the old school country. And so we've just kind of taken these, you know, this mix of our history of rock and our interest in country. And it's definitely got some traditional flares to it, but it's pretty edgy too. And I think it's pretty different, at least in my opinion, but we're sure having fun. That's for sure.
Yeah. No, it sounds like you guys are having fun from what I've seen on your Instagram and making things happen. Now, give me a little insight for anybody who doesn't know how to play guitar or never even heard of like some of the fundamentals of guitar. Give us a little one-on-one on how to play guitar and how you learned.
Well, when I learned, there was no YouTube, so I had to drive 100 miles one way just to get a guitar lesson. You know, it was. But it was, you know, I did that for 6 months. And I would recommend anybody first starting out to either get a personalized lesson from somebody, whether it be in person or you get a personalized lesson on YouTube, so that you can, so that you don't develop bad habits right off the bat. Because that was, that's everything to being able to develop quicker. You know, once you get a lot of those basic techniques down, then you can move on and, you know, learn from YouTube videos and learn from just watching and stuff. But if you get the right techniques right off the bat, then that's going to be a huge leg up.
It sounds like, would you say it's more hands-on? As in, like, guitar playing is one of those instruments that's hands-on as compared to, let's say, just, oh, let me sing, in a sense?
Compared to what again?
Like, it's just compared to, like, singing, would you say guitar is a little bit more hands-on on how you have to use the fundamentals of it?
Well, it's definitely hands-on. Would you say compared to singing?
Yeah, because, yeah, I'm a big believer. Yeah. Your voice is an instrument. But, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I was the singer before of this group before my brother did. And it's equally as hands-on as guitar. And you have to even be more careful singing, because you can, you know, it'd be hard for me to hurt myself playing guitar, but you can hurt yourself singing the wrong way.
Mm.
And so it's, you know, working on techniques and learning and the relaxing, learning how to relax when you're doing either one of these things, you know, that comes from preparation first, knowing it so well that you can't mess it up, but then just being able to breathe and let it happen is a big part of turning playing just drills and scales into music.
Very interesting. It sounds like it's not only sounds like it's hands on, but it really is about relaxing the body and the mind. We'll talk about the mind and singing and playing any type of instrument a little bit later. But you told me a little bit earlier you were starting the warm tour, as I like to say. You were going around these warm states and just traveling around. Give me the experience like and how it's been so far.
Well, it's good. Yeah. So we're, you know, being in Kansas, our winters are not warm. So and we do a lot of outdoor events, which you just don't want to do in the winter here. It's awesome. You know, it comes down to having the right people on the bus. that makes every part of that just better. I mean, and I don't mean just on stage. Stage is such a small percentage of our time when you're traveling with a group. You know, we got to be able to get along in a, you know, it's a tour bus, but it's not, you know, it's still confined. And there's not many places you can go to get away from the next one except crawling in your bunk. So we better get along. And we do. We've got a great group and just solid people in this group that just makes it fun. And then when we hit the stage, that's just the extension of the people we have involved. It just carries on to the stage and people, we have fun. That allows the crowd to have fun because we're having fun. And it just one of the best things I love to hear, and we hear this quite a bit, is somebody will come up to us after a show and say, "You know, I feel better than I felt when I got here." And that, man, I'm telling you, that's the best compliment we can get. Not how well we played, not, you know, did we hit the right notes, all that. But if somebody says that, then boom, it's we can go home.
It's a not only a morale boost, but it just shows you guys are making impact. And that's the key to anything you're trying to do, right? Make the impact, get the fan recognition. Sometimes it's better to have that happiness and joy over a dollar sign or even ego pride. Now, give me like a story, like one of your stories on tour, one of your favorite stories, hanging with the guys and just traveling around. What made the energy go better?
Well, sure. This we didn't actually travel to this show because it was local, but when in
Oh, yeah,
2015
for sure.
when the 2015 when the Royals won the World Series,
Mm-hmm.
we got an email about 2 weeks prior to that saying, "Hey, if this happens, if they win, we don't know what day it's going to happen, but and we don't know if they're going to win, but if this happens, would you be interested in playing the celebration?" And we're like, "Yeah, we'll figure it out." So then they would go dark. We don't hear a thing. But then the World Series is on a Sunday, and Monday morning, this email comes in saying, "Are you still good?" And we're like, "Yes." So we drive down there on a Tuesday morning, like really, really early, wondering how early are people even going to show up to this thing? And are we going to be playing to nobody? And we get down there, and that crowd ended up being 800,000 people. And it was just surreal. I mean, it was 800,000 people jammed in a outdoor area, couldn't hardly move anywhere for an experience that's just, you know, with very little incident, you know, as far as people actually causing problems. You think with that many people, there would be some problems, but it was amazing. And we'll never forget that show. You know, it was such an experience. However, what's crazy is I've had equally powerful experiences, just different, in like a little house concert we did for 40 people. So it's just, you just never know, you know, what you go into every situation thinking, you know, this, I'm not going to prejudge this for what it is, or I'm going to try not to. And then a lot of times we come out of there, it's like, wow, that was pretty amazing.
That is pretty crazy. Would you say the quality beats the quantity in your perspective of I'd rather have the quality of the performance, the energy, the environment over the number? Even with the 800,000, I'm sure it's something that sparked you to say, man, this quality of the people and the energy is where it's at, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll take quality any day. You know, at this point, we're probably not going to play for more than 800,000 people. So what, you know, what do we try to go after with that? You know,
Right.
you're not going to beat it unless you play another one of those deals, because the biggest bands in the world don't usually play for that many people.
Yeah.
So it's quality is always the key, you know. And that's, you know, Brett and I have had a couple coaches over the years, which have been huge. Brett's my brother. And one of the things our vocal performance coach taught us early on was this idea of resetting after each moment. So, you know, the idea is to create moments in a show. The trap on that is if you have a moment where you're like, "Oh man, this we just were in it on this song," and then the song ends, if you stay there and try to reduplicate that moment again, it's going to fail flat on its face, and it's not possible. That was its own moment. It's done. You can't bring it back. And so our instructor used to teach us, actually, just kind of like you had this magic watch on your wrist. He'd say, you know, push that button when you're done with a moment and say, it's over. Take a few breaths and be open to whatever the next moment might be.
That's very interesting, right? You think memories, or we think of the concept of memories, and there's only one memory. It can never be another memory. You could have something similar, but at the same time, it's still that one memory. It's its own unique memory, for sure.
Yeah, that's exactly the same thing, for sure.
Awesome. And tell me a little bit about, when you say this, and for anyone else who's trying to get into the world of playing, how hard or how easy it was, in your perspective, to get gigs. Is it hard to get gigs? Is it easy? Is it really about networking, because everyone says music is the business game? Give me a little mindset to that.
Well, it's hard to get gigs. The caveat, though, is it's fun if you do it the right way.
Hmm.
And I know the difference. I did it the wrong way for years. You know, it's the reason we offer a free ebook that's the beginning steps of guiding musicians through this, but you have to work on making sure the talent and the gift and everything is spot on first, then go after really booking the gigs. Now, that doesn't mean you stay in your basement until you've got everything figured out. That doesn't work either, because a lot of the growth happens when you're out playing in front of people. And that, so you might, you know, in the beginning, you may have to play free if you're just starting out, just to get the experience and to get better. And then you might have to play for a little bit of money, and you might have to play for a little bit more money, you know. And then, but then, as what happens is, as
right.
as you get better, is then it does become more of a people business, and who you know, and treating people right. I mean, it's that way all the way along. But if you want to get to better gigs, you have to think of it like a business, and you have to think about every aspect of it as a business, and know that the person buying you or paying for you to be there has a specific goal in mind. And if you don't know what that goal is, then it's going to be hard for you to actually help them get that goal. But if you do find out what that goal is and say, okay, here's what this buyer wants to have happen, I'm going to get alongside of them, and we're going to work together, and we're going to see if we can make this happen for everybody.
It really is about the right people, man. You make a great point, and having fun with the process. And through this journey, would you say, because you had your brother, you had the right people around you, it's not only helped your performances in getting gigs, but it's also helped your development too, to become a better guitar player, to become a better businessman, in a sense, entrepreneur?
Yeah, for sure. The like our drummer and bass player are college graduates from music, and young. We've known them for years, and when we hired them, like, not only did they get up their the band game, they're gonna up my game, because they are solid. You know, I need to keep getting better too, because we've got these young kids in here that's all they're doing. They're just getting better and better and better, you know. And it shouldn't be just them; it should be all of us. But there's some other things that have been a big part of that. When you talk about people around us, is we're big believers in having a coach or coaches. You know, I talked a little bit about our performance instructor, but in addition to that, we've had a coach that my brother and I meet with every week, and we've done that for almost 6 years now. And so my brother and I get along really, really good, but we're partners in everything. And sometimes a third set of eyes or ears has been pretty, pretty darn important to make sure we keep moving forward and don't get hung up on things that might hang us up.
Give me the psychological aspect of when you say coaching and mentors, right? I think it's key. Would you say in the music industry, a coach and a mentor is more important compared to, let's say, running a business, because of the fact that it is such a hands-on, whereas the business is hands-on, but there can also be outside factors such as a podcast or someone in your family, like a direct resource, compared to the music game, where you feel like that could be a massive impact?
Well, I think you got to have both.
Okay.
The hands-on aspect of a business, you know, if you're not in it, you know, making sure nobody's going to care about it like you will, you know, as far as your business. But what we've learned is that, personally anyway, that because you're hands-on, we can be way too close to certain things and not see it for what it is because we're down deep in the minutia of it, where a coach can hear about or even witness aspects that we're going through and say, hey, have you considered this? Great coaches ask great questions. Have you thought about doing it this way? Are you sure this is the right direction for you? Is this, or does this still line up with where you want to go, where you want to be? Those sort of things.
I like that. The great coaches ask the great questions. And I think that's the key, right? Questioning as a student and as a mentee or a mentor, it's always going to lead you in the right direction. The more you ask, the more information you give to somebody, the more likely they'll be more comfortable. It opens up their speaking, and it opens up their linguistics and language too. So before we started the call, you told me about the inner rock star, finding that inner rock star. Give me a little bit about the mindset, how you're going to help not only the people currently working, but some future people, the future generations, to keep finding inner rock star.
Absolutely. There's different names for this. Finding your zone of genius, finding your true passion, that sort of thing. This is just what we're just, this is how we connect it to what we're good at. And that is figuring out your inner rock star. So your inner rock star could be, it doesn't have to be in music. It's that thing in your life, or things, it could be a few things, where mm-hmm. when you do them, time completely disappears because you're having so much fun doing them that you just lose time. And like for me, I can lose time. I can lose 4 hours playing the most monotonous new technique I learned still today, but 4 hours can disappear playing that technique. Cause what I'll do is I'll learn that technique and then I'll put on backing track in one key at a slow speed. Then I'll do it at another speed. Then I'll do it at another speed. And then I'll move to another key and I'll go through all the keys on this one technique doing this for 4 hours. Now that seems ridiculous to most people that would think, why would you spend that kind of time on it? And I do it because first of all, I want to still be the best I can be, but it's so much fun for me to do that. There's no crowd in my studio. It's just me. So when you find that thing for you, I'm speaking to whoever's listening, it's magical. So then the goal is, all right, this is what gets me going. Now, how do I get paid doing it so that I can do it all the time? Because that's when you start living a life of experience and a life worth living, because you're just living in your passion all day long. And there's going to be other aspects, but eventually you learn, it's like, well, okay, the more I can hire or find people that are good in their inner rock star to help me with my inner rock star, then we all do this together and everybody's losing time. And that happens when we start thinking the right way, when we start speaking the right way, when we treat people the right way, because it's not a solo game here. All those things, work together to help us live this life worth living.
Tom Houndsmith, you're absolutely right, right? Giving back and living a great life is one thing, but I think just being respectful of people and understanding the values of fundamentally respecting and giving back to others, I think, is something that's underrated. And I like how you said your rock star doesn't have to be just music. It can be anything. Give me a little insight. I know you said you were a guitar player ever since you were young. You wanted to be this guitar player and had this rock star. But when you found that moment, that first time you found it and you really hit it, after the assembly, give me that insight of what it was like to open your eyes and that new perspective. Hey, I found it. Now let's make this a dream.
Well, it's kind of funny, the portion of the story that we didn't talk about in the beginning of this was, my buddy got me playing guitar. We started a band. We spent 6 months practicing two songs, got a gig playing those two songs. And shortly after that, I found out that they had started a new band without me and the drummer, because we weren't very good, when I went to see the new practice place and they were playing, they were practicing without me. So that was the next defining moment for me, because what I did, I went home really hurt that night, thinking, you know, it's a small town, you know, this is one of my best friends, and I totally felt like I'd just gotten the raw deal, you know. But after I got over that, I said, all right, I'm going to show them. You know, it wasn't even about passion. It was about proving them wrong. And so that's when I started practicing and going to driving for those lessons and practicing. You know, I'd play 4 to 7 hours a night after school. I'd do it until I'd fall asleep. And what happened was, though, eventually the idea of I was going to show them went away, because the love for playing took over. And I got past that, and we were still friends, and it was one of those things that just, it led me there through a kind of a weird way. And then I never looked back.
Wow. That's a real story. Sometimes it's really is those moments. And like you said earlier in the podcast, that memory of keep finding that rock star and finding what's going to make you tick. It's not only a memory itself, but it's also a start point. It's a benchmark. Anything you started is a benchmark, and the fact that you built on that benchmark, continue to evolve the benchmark, is what makes you go further. Transition a little bit into Big Time Grain Company and the Dream Big series, which is appropriate for finding a rockstar. You got to dream big. Give me a little insight on what those are about, and tell the audience about that.
Sure. Big Time Grain Company is the group that my brother and I have, the country group that, you know, we play in. We release songs, we travel, we do tour and that sort of thing. Then the Dream Big series started as just a video program that we were doing, where we would interview friends of ours that were playing some pretty high level gigs, and we would ask them the questions that we would want to know when we were kids. So, you know, how'd you get your start? Kind of what we're doing here, but we'd ask these guys that were like playing drums for Kelly Clarkson and percussion for Zac Brown, and just, you know, a few others. But then it led to, you know, we started going into these schools and doing these keynote concerts and realizing that we really had our hands on something, because the students were super hungry to not only to be getting out of class for a concert, which that put us on top to begin with, because they weren't doing math or something. But when we would actually talk to them and then use the video from the Dream Big series about pursuing their dreams, it was resonating. And you could tell some of them had never heard that they could go after their dreams. Wow. It's, you know, I can tell this, you know, you're going after your dream here, obviously. That's why you're doing this. But there are so many people out there that were raised through, because parents were just trying to survive, that the idea of actually doing what they wanted to do was not even on their radar. It was just, how do I not go under and keep my family? You know, that was what that's what I grew up on a farm, both my brother and I. It was survival a lot of times. And so this message is very, very new to a lot of students and adults.
That's humbling.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I'm going to say, no, my bad, I'm going to cut you off here.
Oh, it's all good. You know, one example I have is not a student, but it's a buddy of mine that is one of the best saxophone players I've ever known. And a few years back, he wanted to meet because he was looking to try to network a business that he had and wanted some advice on that. And I just remember sitting there blown away that he had completely, not only wasn't going after his passion, he had forgotten what it was.
Wow.
And I knew what it was. I mean, because I've experienced this guy's talent. And so it was so bizarre. He was just looking in his eyes and just seeing it blazed. Like, how do you not remember this? You're amazing. How do you not remember this? Now, since then, you know, he's come back to it, and it's been quite a deal, but
yeah,
that was pretty eye-opening to see that happen.
Yeah, that is nuts to think that, you know, kids in the future, right, they don't they don't know what the culture is of going after and chasing something. Obviously, you don't want to chase the wrong thing, but the dream aspect, the passion, finding your rocks, they don't have that that drive. And even, and like you said, even some adults, right? It's crazy. Some people have never even found it at, let's say, age 50, and they still are continuing to learn and evolve, which is great, but it's a really important message to go after, you know, when you're finding that memory as you go through life, right? Find something that's going to make you wake up every day, as you said, and have fun with it, enjoy it. And when you go to these schools, is there anything in particular, anything that stands out where just one concert or one message resonated from a student that you could take away from?
Well, I think for, you know, one of the things that I'm passionate about within that message is the difference between a backup plan and a support plan. And the reason I'm so passionate about that was I experienced my dad in our living room when I was trying to decide what to do about college or music and all that. What I really wanted to do was go to college for music, but I distinctly remember my dad saying, "You can't ever make money doing music. You need a backup plan." And that was the second time I remember something making me mad, and I was going to prove him wrong. And so I did. I mean, I ended up on tour for playing 4 to 6 nights a week the next 5 years. However, at the end of that, our singer just kind of he just walked out one night in the middle of a week. He was done, and no notice, walked out. And I remember being up all night that night, and those words coming back from my dad about you can't ever make money doing music. You have to have a backup plan. And I remember thinking, well, I guess it's time for my backup plan. So I went through three different backup plans in 5 years apiece before I finally had enough and said, I can't do any more backup plans because I am dying on the vine here. I'm not happy. I'm not even making money worth anything at these plans. And I just said, I'm just not going to do this anymore. I'm going to either get back on this music mountain and start climbing to the top, or I'm just going to die on the side because I'm not going to do something that I'm not supposed to be doing anymore. And that's when I learned what a support plan was and the difference. You know, so a support plan is being able to choose things that you might need to do in the interim of pursuing your dream that actually help you get there. So a perfect example for me is one of my what I looked at as a backup plan was I became an entertainment agent. Now, I learned all about booking. And everything that I learned has been extremely helpful for this band I'm in now. However, at the time I was in it, I didn't see it that way. I saw it as, well, I guess I'm going to have to do this so that I can survive because it's my backup plan, as opposed to, no, I'm not, just because the singer left doesn't mean it's the end of my music career. It just means he left. He doesn't decide when I keep going or what I keep doing. And yeah, I can learn this agent thing, but I'm going to use it as a way to help me keep moving forward as a reason to quit. And so the real simple distinction between the two is a support plan is you decide that because you're going to move forward. A backup plan you decide out of fear because you're going to fail.
You know, it really is interesting the prospect of a backup plan. You know, I think even though you're in the music game, you can still take away things from something completely different. Or even, like you said, even booking, for example, it still could be booked with tours and gigs. Has that experience really helped you know the ins and outs of how to book and gig now compared to where you were, let's say, a couple years ago when you first started 7 years ago? You now know the ins and outs a little bit better because of that one experience?
Oh, well, yeah. So I've been booking before we ever started Big Time Grain Company, and it allowed us to start Big Time Grain Company the right way. It also is a big part of what I was able to write the book off of in our training program, because I would get these. I ended up kind of in a niche with the agency, the booking agency, where I would represent these shopping centers. And the shopping centers would just let me have me do all their entertainment. So anytime a band called wanting to play one of those shopping centers, the shopping center would reroute the call right to me. And so I started getting the good, the bad, and the ugly in pitches from bands. And I started learning real fast what really turned me off, what really turned me on, and what got me to actually spend time to investigate the band a little bit more. And I learned a ton just from getting all those calls and realizing it's like, okay, there are some serious people skills that are being applied or not applied here. And if they're applied, they work. And it made a big difference, you know, then when we started our own band, just knowing that, you know, it's like, it's about helping the person that wants to book you succeed and get what they want and achieve whatever is their vision for that event. That's a way different conversation than, hey, will you book my band? Because, and then start listing off all the reasons they should book my band. You know, that just doesn't go well.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting perspective, right? I think going into anything with an incredible game plan and having that preparation, right, the 5 P's people like to say, but being prepared for anything, given that nothing beats experience, but when you have prior experience, I feel like that just resonates with the people. And you mentioned people skills. It's obvious when you go to a concert, you're going to have fan interactions. Has that also helped your energy, let's say, during a concert or during a tour, like you said, of just knowing that the fans are there, the people are there? I know I didn't interact from that prior experience you've had before.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest things we work on today is that interaction, you know, connecting with people. We've spent years working on our craft, and that's, you know, we're good at what we do. The connecting to an audience is something that I think you get good at, but I don't know that you ever arrive. Not that you arrive in music, but it is important to constantly be focusing on connecting with people and what that means. And to connect with somebody, though, you have to be your authentic self. Otherwise, an audience may not know what feels weird, but they're going to know something feels weird. And if you're not being your authentic self on stage, then it's going to feel weird. But that doesn't start on the stage. That starts, if I'm not my authentic self in my home, in every other part of my life, then I'm not going to be my authentic self on stage. So the work is done all the time. And it's just revealed, you know, in a concert.
Love that. It's just revealed. I think that last part resonates, right? Because people can't really see the behind the scenes unless you show it, right? You know, and of course, with Instagram and all these apps, you can show the behind the scenes. But the behind the scenes is everything you do behind the scenes is what you put in the forefront on the day of your performance. And I think putting that behind the scenes work, as you said, developing and personally growing is key. Now, I know you said in the Google form here, going back to that a little bit, you're always looking for sponsors and you use, the meditation, pray, listen to the podcast, of course, playing your guitar. So go through those down times. Give me some times when you had some adversity and you were facing it and you used, like I said, the meditation, pray, and listen to the podcast, not only help you better yourself, but understand what made you get down and how you can rise from it.
Yeah, well, there have definitely been some financial times that were down times where it got really tough a few times. Because I was starting something new, even, you know, I was letting go of the other stuff. And, you know, just to be completely transparent, you know, we about lost our, my wife and I about lost our house at one point because we'd gotten so far behind. And, you know, I remember the feelings of up all night, couldn't sleep, just stressed and stressed and stressed. And, what I've learned, you know, since then, that anytime I go through like a challenging area, meditation's hugely helpful. Praying's helpful. Just playing guitar for me is helpful. And it's funny, you know, there's this visual that I've heard many, many times where if you've got this dream and you hold it open handed, with your palms up to the sky and treat it like it's sand, that you can actually hold it. But if you clench your fist around sand or your dream, there's no way to hold it. It actually is going to fall out of your hands.
That's funny.
And so my experience of that in real life for me is when I start to get stressed about, I think I got to make something happen. That could equate to me getting in, making cold calls and trying to just make something happen. And anytime I've ever done that, it's never worked. But the times I've done it and realize I'm doing it and I quit doing it, I said, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to go play guitar for a couple hours. I'll go play guitar for a couple hours and come back to my voicemail and realize that somebody is there to book the band that did not come from any of my cold calls. we're connected at all. And I'm like, and that happened multiple times to me. Enough that it's like, okay, there's something to this letting go and focusing on the parts that I love and just relaxing. Now I still have to talk to people, and I had to talk to them when they called. You know, we had to get to that point. But man, there is definitely something to about releasing control of the how it's going to happen. Know the what and the why. And be willing to take each next step, but don't get so wrapped up in the how that we, or at least me, that I will squeeze off any abundance or blessing coming my way.
No, that's fair, man. That's real. I like how you put that into perspective of, so there's going to be times, right, where you go to the lowest of lows and you find the inspiration, like you said, playing guitar, meditating, and I guess it's almost connecting with your inner rock star and serenity. It's funny because sometimes you think, well, rock star, but you can also find it in peace. And I think you having that mindset to go back and really take time for yourself and reset is important. You mentioned resetting earlier in the show. Is that the same thing you think? Resetting in the music and taking those times is just as important as resetting in development and personally growing?
Yeah, it is the same thing. It's just a couple different techniques to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one, I guess the resetting on the wrist thing, I just kind of always used for the show, playing the guitar in my studio by myself, having fun is what or meditating is what I do at home.
Oh, for sure. Appreciate that insight. And going to the music lifestyle, I almost forgot about that. Can you give me a little insight on what you do with that and how you try to help people?
You said with the music licensing?
Yeah. I forgot a little bit about that. So I just kind of want a little perspective for anyone who doesn't really know what that is. For sure.
And in all fairness, we're new to this game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have a lot of advice for people other than what I've learned from others. And that is just music licensing is it's the songs that you hear behind, you know, like a Netflix show or an advertisement or a video game. I mean, if you close your eyes when you're in front of a screen and don't watch and just start listening, you'll be blown away with how much music's there.
Right.
There's, you know, that they have to get that music from somewhere, and they don't want to be paying the kind of money they'd have to be paying to use a top 40 hit. So they offer these opportunities to artists to create those sound beds that go behind, and they might be songs with lyrics in them, or they might be instrumental, or, you know, they might be just orchestral stuff. And so my brother and I, you know, we started creating our catalog for that maybe 6-7 months ago, and we're in the process of now reaching out and getting it in front of some music supervisors that might be interested in it as we keep creating, you know, more and more songs.
No, it's good, man. I appreciate that perspective, right? At the end of the day, nothing will ever go right the first try, right? And I think you learning and always having that growth mindset to keep going and figure things out, trial and error, is going to get you further for sure. Then we've talked to a couple and many musicians, a couple music producers, excuse me, and many musicians on this show. And they say that Spotify, SoundCloud, those big-time publishing platforms that put your music and almost surround yourself with other artists and collaborating is big. Now, you guys are our first band per se that we've interviewed. Is that the same message holds true to you guys, that Spotify and those things like SoundCloud matter in the sense that you can still communicate with them? Or are you guys a different branch to where those matter, but they're not the ultimate?
Well, I think it definitely matters.
Okay.
What it comes down to for us is just time. We have a certain amount of time in a day to work on a certain amount of projects. And at this point, Spotify and that method is a great method for a lot of artists. It just hasn't been our method at this point because we've got these other projects that are, you know, taking a bulk of our time.
No, that's fair, man. Like I said, it's just a lot of people really don't have the resources or they don't have the time. And for you guys, obviously, what you're doing is a little bit different from the people we have interviewed in the past where it sounds like you're always on the go and you're always striving for gigs and whatnot. But let's go a little bit to your kind of the vision here before we kind of round the show. You said you would love to go on tour with Brad Paisley and Garth Brooks for
yes.
15-plus dates. Give me a little insight on that funny answer, man. It's funny.
Well, for me, it's yeah, there'd be a ton of exposure with that, but it's not about that for me. It's I want to get to know both those guys.
Mm.
I think that'd be a really fun way to do it. I've been a fan of Brad Paisley for quite a while and Garth Brooks. Being a guitar player, you know, Brad Paisley's in my opinion one of the best country players out there. And I've been to a couple concerts, and you know, I watch what he does. I've read his book a couple times, and I see the kind of person he is, and he is the authentic artist, and he is doing things the right way, and he does treat people the right way. And I watch, you know, everybody he ever takes out on tour, if it's guitar based band, which most of them are, he's pulling each one of them up at some point during his concert to do a song with him. And I thought, man, just the idea of doing that for 15 dates and then hanging out with him afterwards and talking a little bit, you know, that sounds like a good time to me. And then, you know, same thing with Garth Brooks. You know, Garth is, he man, that dude has, in the 90s, he and, you know, he is the rock star of country. You know, he did things nobody had ever done in country when he did it. And, I mean, it was like bringing a Kiss show to a country concert. And so that sounds like a lot of fun to me, too.
Sometimes you need that energy. No, it's great, man. It's great that you have those visions and those mentors and those idols, right, to shoot for. Because you never know. They're sometimes with the day of social and the day of technology, they're just sometimes a share away or a click away if you're really
connected to
other people. Yeah, so it's good. It's good. Like you said, find those dreams and chase them and find what makes you click. I think this is a great way to almost sum it up here. We do what we love. We play music, inspire dreams along the way. Give me a little bit of message on how you found that motto and how it can be applied to not only yourself, but to anyone out there listening who may want to pursue this.
Well, that took a bit to come to because, you know, it's really important to be able to narrow your vision down to, you know, one sentence if you can. We had a lot of different things going on, but when we finally realized, it's like, okay, and if we're going to sum this up, we absolutely love to play music, and we don't have to even decide how that happens, but we also love to inspire people to go after their passions and their dreams, and that's, you know, that's where the Dream Big series comes from, and the training program for artists. And so we're able to do all these things working together that just kind of fits into that one sentence about, you know, who we are.
It's great, man. I mean, it does take patience, right? It takes time, the grind. It takes all that to get the message and motto of understanding what's good for not only you, but for others around you and conveying that message. Last thing here before we head out. I know everyone talks about this 2020 vision. What's your 2020 vision for all you're doing and for the next decade, too, and where you see yourself in a couple of years and how massive or how great you're going to make this?
Well, in 2020, our plan is to we've got a lot of projects we started in 2019, new projects in addition to the band. And so our goal for 2020 is to get a lot of them solidified and really move to a a level where we're including more people in them. You know, there's the Dream Big series has got definitely room to include more people using their gifts to reach more people. And the same thing with, you know, same thing with the music, you know, like we just like to continue pushing that envelope. We push out a few states every year and get a few more states added in. And with that, you know, the revenue's gone up with that as well, which is always helpful to pay for everything else. And so, yeah, man, just continuing on, you know, for us, it's making the right steps each day and applying the right habits so that if in the end, you know, the vision may not look, it probably won't look exactly like we think it will, but it'll be better.
Awesome, bro. And I think it's good that you started a lot of projects too the year before, right, and have this nice baseline from what you want, from what I understood from the interview, and or doing all these things. Is the more you can expand your network and diversify what you're doing, the more likely and more opportunities you're going to see. It may not be right away, but as long as you keep working, grinding, and understanding your inner rock star, you'll get to where you want to be, not only this year, but this next decade for sure, brother.
Yeah, I sure appreciate this, Kevin.
Absolutely, man. All right, guys, before we head out, we're going to have Chad plug his social media links so you can find him. Chad, you want to plug your links so people can find you, brother?
Yeah, for sure. Everything we have for Big Time Grain Company is just / Big Time Grain Co. And then for the Dream Big series, it's / Dream Big series.
Awesome. That's on all platforms, guys. Thank you, as always, to the UPE listeners out there for giving your undivided attention to our guests and checking out all our links as well. This will come out soon, Chad. Appreciate your time, brother. Have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
Yo, thank you for listening to the podcast. As always, we hope this episode was valuable. And for more awesome stories, please subscribe. If you have someone else in mind that should hear these episodes too, go ahead and share it. We dare you. Follow us on Instagram at The United Promotion. And for everything else, including show notes and more info on how to become a guest on our podcast, visit linktr.ee/theup. Have a great day.